hospitality shown to us since we've been here. Great joy always to come and be with the saints here at Edmunds Lane. Barbara and I perhaps give you an update. I know we're only here maybe twice a year, and so we want to thank you for your prayers for us. So we're traveling quite a bit this coming couple of months. We're home maybe 10 days over the next month and a half or so, or 6 weeks, whatever it is, 7 weeks through January. So we've got a lot going on. We'll be here in Texas for the next week or so. Then we'll be off to Connecticut after a short time at home. And then we'll be in Florida. So good time of the year to be in Florida, right? And so we'll be down there. We'll be finishing the men's Bible study, a week-long study down there, and then managing with some of the assemblies there. So we appreciate it, getting the prayers for us to travel. Barbara continues to drive, of course, as you know, and the car is still running. And we've been praying about perhaps replacing it at some point, but still going. I think we just went over 450,000 miles on it. And so we're very thankful. And again, through your prayers, we probably keep that going. And but we know that over time, entropy does set in, and we have to be aware of that, of course, as well in this world. So, but we're seeking out the Lord's guidance there as well. So that's and as far as the ministry goes, we got a lot going on. We are actually, in fact, I think the newsletter came out. We didn't get one by email, or did get one as some other fashion. I do have a few copies with me, so later on I'll be out back. You can let me know, and I'll give you a copy of our newsletter for the year, telling you a little bit about what we're doing. And one of the key things we're doing this coming year is to build a website to put up a lot of the ministry. We realize as we get a little older, it gets tougher traveling around. We've realized over the next 10 or 15 years, there might be other means we can use to get the gospel out, but also to minister to the Lord's people and the assemblies. So we're in the process right now. A brother from Nashville is helping me, Nashville, Tennessee, helping me to get that site built. And so hopefully this coming year, we'll get at least part of it up, and we'll take it from there. So we do appreciate your prayers for that, and hopefully it'll go well. The other thing we did this year, one of the key things we did was to write a series of articles for Elder Shop Notes. Some of you may be aware of that. It's a little, it's been going for 25 years, a little journal, a little newsletter for elders and deacons and those in leadership that comes out of the Connecticut area. And so Brother Jack Spender, some of you may know, is the editor of that newsletter. And so this year, I wrote a series of articles on the principles of shepherding from the life of Moses. This is number five. This is the final in the series. And I have some copies. So if you'd like to have a copy and see it, you can also go on the website and get the previous four parts of it as well. And so feel free. But we did that at the request of Brother Jack. And it's been a real encouragement to see how it's helped folks along the way. So that's a little bit about what we're doing. And again, much more, but we want to focus on the Word of God today. And then we'll see you later on if you have questions or thoughts on some of these things or need a copy of some of these things. We do have a copy of the chart this time around. I've made a chart in the book of Joshua we're in. You do remember that, right? Yeah, some of you are waving your heads. Yes, we're in the book of Joshua over the last year or so, and we're going to try and finish it next year, Lord willing. But this year we're in the second half of the book. But I made a little chart. I've been making a chart for each book of the Bible. We've been doing that as an overview through our Zoom Bible study on Tuesday nights. So every Tuesday night we get together. And by the way, if you'd like to join that Tuesday night study, just send me your email and I'll be glad to put you on the list. But we do that. And so we've been going through starting chronologically from Genesis onward. And right now we're actually in the book of Joshua, actually, which is sort of interesting because that's happened to be where we are. And so I made a chart for that. And so if you're interested in having a copy, I'll have some later on. Feel free to stop me and get a copy. But let's go ahead and look at Joshua chapter 13. We're going to be looking at four chapters this morning, four or five chapters. Again, we're doing an overview for those who've not been here with us. We're doing an overview of the book, taking each section of six sections of Joshua. And so we're not trying to go in every detail and looking at the Hebrew and all that. We're just trying to give you a sense of how God has put it together and then how it helps us. What practically can we learn from it? And so that's what sort of our goal is in looking at the book. Some great practical lessons from the book. And so let's read just a small portion to start with in chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And now Josh was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remains yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remains. And then it goes on to speak about all the borders, which I won't read all the things right now for time's sake. But he talks about the land that had not been given out yet. And so we'll go past that. And then he goes on to say, verse 7 of chapter 13, Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe Manasseh. Now you'll recall, of course, we've already looked at the first half of the book. In the first half of the book, we see there were three key sections. I'm just revealing for those who have not been with us. The three key sections, four chapters apiece approximately, 1 through 4, 5 through 8, 9 through 12. And those were very important because they established the foundation for the Jewish people at that time, Israelites, to understand how God operates. So that when now they come to chapter 13 onward and they need to go individually or by tribe into the land, they will know how to go about it. They'll know who to go to, how to get help, and so on. All that will be brought out in the first 12 chapters, which we've looked at. And we looked at some great practical lessons there about how we were in it together, that we worked together, and so on. That the tribes would have to learn to go to one another and help one another out, and so on. We talked about that. And we looked at the whole issue of making sure we got rid of the enemy out of the land, of course, that we can do it with God's help, there's power and strength. We can do the things that are necessary to be done, that we can't do it in the flesh, can we? We saw an example. We tried to do it in the flesh with AI, for instance, and it didn't work out so well. So we learned great lessons from that. We learned lessons about Achan and how the challenge or difficulties that one has can affect the others in our group, can't it? And yet there are great lessons about how we, the benefits of all being together and the blessings of one can also be a blessing to the others as well. So we looked at some great lessons about how God operates, how they can function by looking to him for their help, first 12 chapters. And we know that if I had a map up here, we know on the east side of Jordan, the 2.5 tribes had already gotten their inheritance. And then now the 9.5 tribes need to get theirs, right? Total 12 tribes, Levites being separate. And so there we are. Now we're on the west side, and now we have the 9.5 tribes to get their inheritance. And that's where we start here in chapter 13. It's a reminder to Joshua, now go ahead and divide the rest of the land. That would be on the west side. Now, Moses already gave the 2.5 tribes on the east side. You can go back and take a look at that in the book of Deuteronomy and so on. It's talked about. And also a bit of numbers. So you can go and see all that. But we're going to get to that. It is mentioned here in the section we're looking at, the east side. But for the most part, we're going to look at the west side, the 9.5 tribes. What's going to happen? And will they take the heart what they've learned in the 12 chapters previous? And keep in mind, by the way, you know, we often read these 12 chapters, the first 12 chapters, and we think, oh, that's a few months and we're all done. But in reality, it took 6 to 7 years for all that to be accomplished. Right? So you can base that on Caleb's age, which we'll get to in a moment. So be careful as you read, because sometimes when you read something, it reads very quickly. Then when we start looking at the actual, what has to be done and what actually occurred, it's much longer. So here, in this case, it was. So in chapter 13, the Lord tells Joshua, go ahead and do that. Eleazar and Joshua will take now and allot the land according to what God has said. Perhaps they've mapped it out. Perhaps God gave them information about how it was mapped out. We aren't told too much about it here. But now we come to verse 8, and he says, now the east side is done. So chapter 13, verse 8, starting in verse 8 and all the way to the end of the chapter, is all the information about east side. So now getting a review, right? And that's very important to see that the inheritance is the whole, and they're in it together. And so you see, they don't just sort of say, well, the east is all done, see you later. No, let's go back over. Here's the east side, and now here's the west side. Now we have this Jordan in the midst, but now let's be sure we're in it together. And so that comes all the way through, all the way down, all the way to chapter 13. But now look at chapter 13, verse 13. This will be very important in relation to this east side. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites nor the Maacathites, but the Geshurites and Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. That's going to be very important to see. They have not finished the work, rather. That is, they allow the enemy to stay. And brethren, if we allow the enemy to stay, we're going to have problems, aren't we? And the same is true for us today. We have a spiritual inheritance in Christ Jesus. Ephesians tells us. Peter goes into it a little bit as well, the abundant inheritance into the kingdom and so on, and Peter. So you see, the importance of the inheritance cannot be overstated. People in the Old Testament would die for their inheritance, like Naboth in his vineyard, right? They would die for it. I wonder how many of us truly have a zeal, are committed to the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. Do we really care? And if we care, are we going to do what's required in keeping the enemy at bay? Just like they had physical warfare in Israel at this time, we have spiritual warfare. Of course, Paul talks about, and we have the armor of God and so on, all the great lessons. Corinthians talks about it as well, being like an athlete and so on. We have those great lessons for us. But do we take them to heart? That's going to be important. So keep in mind, as they go in, we're already seeing a little problem here in verse 13 of chapter 13. That they were supposed to, of course, wipe them out, take them out, and now already they're allowing the enemy to stay. And we're going to see now that they're not going to take the part what they've learned. They're going to keep on going, and we're going to see challenges facing them. These folks later on caused problems for David and others. And you can take a look at it in the scriptures and Samuel and Kings and so on. Some of these tribes will hear about that stay, the Canaanite people, cause problems in the future for Israel. All because they didn't do what God had said to do in the first place. But there might be reasons. You might say, well, why didn't they drive them out? Well, sometimes God, we'll see later on, leaves them because they weren't good about doing what they should have done. We'll see that in the book of Judges if we ever get there. But we won't go there now. So that's chapter 13 in a nutshell, the eastern side. And now they're getting ready to do the west side. So now chapter 14, verse 1, it says, and these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them by lot. But again, they have the land, they know which land there is, and now God does it by lot. Based on the size of the tribe, the lot falls, of course, as God would have it. And so by lot was their inheritance that were commanded by the hand of Moses. By the way, we saw it all through the first 12 chapters based on what God had said to Moses. For the nine tribes and for the half tribe in verse 2. Now verse 3, for Moses had given the inheritance of the two and a half tribes on the other side of Jordan. Unto Levites he gave none inheritance among them. Now we'll get the Levites next time or here. It'll be, I think, next June or somewhere around there, May or June. And we'll come back and we'll look at the, perhaps get the lead. If we don't get to them, we'll get to next Thanksgiving time. We'll see how the Lord has. But we'll get to it next year sometime, the issue of the Levites, what happens to them. And so we won't see too much about them yet. But they will have cities to dwell in, it says in verse 4, which we'll get into at a future time. And again, in verse 5, as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Now, that's a general statement, summary statement, and now we're going to see the details of what actually gets done. And so now we're going to start with Judah in verse 6 of chapter 14. And Judah, of course, leads the way because they're going to be the tribe from which the rulers would come, the kings would come, and, of course, the tribe from which our Lord would come, Judah. And so here we are. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. I wholly follow the Lord. That's first the book of Numbers. You see the details of chapters 13 and 14. And Moses sware on that day, saying, sure, the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. Some suggest that Caleb's name means wholehearted. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now lo, I am this day 85 years old. Now, this is how we can determine that it took quite a while to get this done. Because at the time, of course, when he went up there, he was 40. And then they spent 38 years in the wilderness. And then now he's 85, so that's another 7 years, right? So it's about 7 years of time between the time the wandering ended, we might say, and now where they are today as we read. And so about 7 years of warfare. Some say six or six and a half. That's fine. It's in there somewhere. And so Joshua is now going to get his inheritance. And so verse 12, actually verse 11, and yet I am as strong this day as it was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Well, now a few of you might be 85 years old. I'm not there yet. But I wonder if your strength is as it was when you were poor. You might not say it was, but perhaps some of you will. That's okay. Everybody's body is different, of course. The Lord knows. But it's amazing to see, isn't it? And Moses, of course, is very similar when he was 120, right? And dimmed and so on. So it's interesting to see how God has allowed Caleb to continue on because of his zeal, the love for him. And so he allows him to keep his strength so he can still fight the warfare. Doesn't God give us strength? Even now, physically, we may have our challenge, right? That's no doubt. We pray for some of that health issues and so on. That's the challenge of life, entropy in the body and so on. We realize it's a reality because of what has happened in this world, how sin has taken hold, and so on. But Caleb, he still wants to have that spiritual zeal. And do we have the spiritual zeal to go after the thing that God has given us, the inheritance, to actually not just possess it? Christ has given it to us, of course. He's won the battle. He's won the victory. But now are we serious about actually enjoying the inheritance? That's the question. Do we really desire to enjoy it? And so those are some great lessons as we look at what's happening here. And so what happens, he asks for his property there, his inheritance. Verse 12, now therefore give me the mountain, right? The Lord spoke about this, you know, Moses had the Lord told Moses and Joshua and Caleb, this is what he gets. And so this is what he gets, and he gets it. Joshua blessed him, verse 13, gave him Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. And so Hebron means communion, fellowship. And we know there are many other times Hebron is mentioned. We know, for instance, that Abraham went there at one point. We know David, his first 7.5 years of his reign were there and so on. Hebron becomes a great place of study in Scripture. But it means communion or fellowship. And so Caleb, that makes sense, doesn't it? That it gets that piece of land, place of fellowship, communion with God. And so verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord, God of Israel. He was able to enjoy his inheritance. How about that? And the name of Hebron, of course, before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. The land had rest from war. That's just a general statement again. We'll see those statements about rest and so on. Yep, we're going to see some more information about the other tribes getting their inheritance and some of the challenges that face them. But here we see then Hebron. Now, this is the part of the tribe of Judah. And so we're going to deal with the whole tribe of Judah here. But Caleb, of course, is mentioned specifically to start with. And so we have his inheritance. And again, the idea of him being wholehearted, being an older man, yet has a zeal for the inheritance. He's going to go after it. It's marvelous lessons for us as you look at it. But then chapter 15 gets the rest of the land for Judah. We talk about the rest of the land. And so he goes on in verse 1. This then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families. That's chapter 15, verse 1. Even to the border of Edom and so on. So he's going to list out the borders, the boundaries, we would call them, the limits of what the land would be like. And so I won't read all those for time's sake, but you can see them there. I'm just giving an overview. And so it was all the way down, and with that, past verse 11, the west border, verse 12. Now verse 13, and unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, just talk about chapter 14. According to the command of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father Anak, which is the city of Hebron. That's what we just looked at, chapter 14. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Hishai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. Now, if you remember, these are big men, right? These are probably people who are just 8 or 9 feet tall or whatever it might be. We don't see too many at 9 feet anymore. Occasionally, you might see someone getting 8 feet here in the world with some basketball players, I think, probably pretty small. I heard there's one recently, 7'9", starting college. They'll college basketball, I guess. And so we do see some that are pretty tall. But can you imagine, this is what had blocked them from before. Remember, back in Numbers, the spies went out, they came back, and they're all concerned about, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Remember that? But what did God say? Well, I have a land full of milk and honey for you. Go take it. When God says to take something, shouldn't we take it? Shouldn't we enjoy the possession of it? Well, they didn't, of course, as you know, from the book of Numbers. It's a sad commentary, but Caleb, of course, and Joshua both said, no, we can go in. If this is what God has for us, we're done. We got it. Not an issue. They believed God, didn't they? And how about us today? Do we believe God concerning what he has said to us and his inheritance? And so he drives out. It doesn't matter how big they are. He drives them out. And remember, now he's 85 years old. I wonder if we're going to do that at 85, spiritually speaking. I hope we are. And we keep fighting the enemy, don't we? And so it's interesting, Caleb comes along in verse 16 now, and now he's got this whole proposition. And he says, he that smites Kirjath Sefer, right, and takes it to him, will I give my Aksa, my daughter, to wife. Now, a double bounty, right? Not only the inheritance will the person get, but now get a wife too. Isn't that exciting? Some of you that have wives and all about that, it's exciting to have a wife, isn't it? You see, now, who's going to do that? That is there someone with the same zeal that will desire to think with God and not only then have the inheritance, but then have a life by which they can be fruitful as well? Wow. And so what happens, you see, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, which is basically Caleb's nephew, took it and he gave him Aksa. And so you can see they came from the same stock, same zeal, same. They were able to take the land, just like God had asked them to do. And so there we are. We had them coming in, and we see some great examples with Caleb and Othniel. And Othniel, of course, later on becomes the judge, right? The judges, the first judges mentioned Othniel. And so now we'll look what happens, though. This is going to get interesting because in verse 18, it came to pass as she came, that his Aksa came into him, that she moved in the ass of her father afield, and she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said to her, what wouldest thou? So now he's given them a large inheritance. You know, basically, they're there now. They're part of the tribe of Judah. Aksa is now Othniel's wife, and they, get a piece of property as part of their inheritance. And now she comes along, and she says, give me a blessing. For thou hast given me a southland, give me also springs of water. That's perhaps drier down that way. Could you give me some water to go with it? Or we can farm it and whatever. And so he gives it to her, doesn't he? He gives her some more land, the upper springs and another springs in verse 19. And so that's the inheritance she gets. But that little blurb, you might wonder, why is it there? We see, those who have a sincere zeal for the things of God, and those who have a desire to see his things brought to bear, are blessed, aren't they? They get more. Those who have that kind of desire will seem to be even more blessed by the things of God. This is physical, of course, but the same is true for us spiritually. Those who desire spiritual things and go after those things will be blessed even more spiritually. An amazing thing as we study more and more. Doesn't mean we don't have physical problems, difficulties in the world. That's the reality of life. You see, spiritual things, we can have great blessings and good. And so the tribe goes on, and the inheritance of the rest of the tribe is given, the various cities. I won't read them all. I'm sure you'd like me to do that, wouldn't you? to read all those names. But you see, we want to move on. I want to cover this section together. And so you go on, and they have all the boundaries there. Going, Judah's pretty big, right? So if I had a map up here, it'd be almost up to not too far from Jerusalem, all the way south near Egypt, right? The Wadi of Egypt, all the way down. And then Simeon later on will be in the midst of Judah. Judah's got a pretty large section of land. We'll not use it all, and Simeon will get some of it later. We won't see that today, but next time we get together. And but now look at verse 63 of chapter 15, because, again, there are lessons through all this. As the Jebusites, right? Remember I said Jerusalem's right nearby, okay? The inhabitant, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. They could not drive them out. For whatever reason, they aren't told. But it's sad, isn't it? They couldn't drive them out. So now we see that same issue continue. We saw it on the east side with the Geshurites and so on, the Maacathites. And now here we see it with the Jebusites. They're allowing some people to stay. Whether they just don't feel like they have the strength, or we'll see another example here in a moment. Maybe they don't feel like doing the work or whatever. They don't have the zeal that Caleb had. There's a number of reasons there might be. Oh, that we might be careful to think about where we're at, on spiritual speaking. What are we doing? And so chapter 15 ends with that sort of sad note. It doesn't look so sad, but it becomes sad because you see that will cause them problems in the future. By allowing the enemy to have a place, we can cause problems for ourselves. But now we go to chapter 16. And we see what's going to happen from this point on, chapter 16, verse 1. Now that we have Judah done, and so and including Caleb, right? So now we have, that's one more tribe. And so 2.5 plus the 1 is 3.5, right? So now we need another 8.5 done, right? Well, it's taking a long time, it seems. So let's look at verse 1, chapter 16. And a lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho, under the water of Jericho on the east, to the wilderness that goes up from Jericho through Mount Bethel and so on. So it's sort of a central area. Ephraim would have been central, west central area on the map if you're looking at one in your Bible. And as it goes down from Bethel to Luz, verse 2, and pass along the borders of and so on. So it goes talks about all the boundaries. And so verse 4, so the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, took their inheritance. I said Ephraim's a smaller piece. Manasseh had a larger piece just north of it. And sort of across from the east Manasseh, right? With west Manasseh, east Manasseh at the map. Manasseh was very, very large. In fact, if you look at a Bible map, you'll see that Manasseh has a very large piece on both sides. People have asked me about that in the past. And they're like, well, you know, why are they so big? Well, you see, it's sort of interesting. I'll mention to you a great, great lesson for us is that when they came into the wilderness, Manasseh wasn't large. But when they got done with the wilderness experience, they were very long. That is, they were larger than they were before. So after the first census in chapter 1 of the book of Numbers, had they gone right into the land, Manasseh would have gotten a smaller territory. But after the second set census in chapter 26 of Numbers, after the wilderness experience of 40 years, the last 38 years, they had grown. And as a result, when they go into the land now, they don't get a small inheritance, but they get a very large inheritance. What a great lesson for us. That as we go through the wilderness experience, that we can be fruitful, can't we? And that tribe was fruitful in some way, physically, of course. And so as a result of their physical growth, they were able to get a larger inheritance. They were fruitful, and so the question for us, spiritually speaking, is, are we fruitful for the Lord today? Some of I think the brothers mentioned how there's tract distribution, you're going out to different places and so on. Craig Ranch, I think you mentioned, we went through there yesterday and so on. It's great to hear. Great to see the fact that you're serving the Lord. And there's a baptism coming. Marvelous to see believers, people coming to know Christ and being baptized. And to see the Lord working among his people is always a marvelous thing to us as we journey around. And so they are going to now get their inheritance, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it talks about the border of Ephraim there, starting in verse 5, chapter 16, very short. And you can see it goes all the way down, just a little 4, 5, 6 verses. But now look at verse 10, and you'll see like a refrain going on here. It's not so good. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Now you see, there seems to be a theme, doesn't there? You see, the first 12 chapters, they learn from all of them. And yet now you come, the inheritance is, well, they're allowing the enemy to come in. They're not doing the full job. And now here, look at the reason why here. You can see there's sometimes logical reasons that, they come up with, right? But is that what God has? You see, here it says, and they serve under tribute. You know, isn't that a nice way to do it? You say, well, you know what? It's a lot of work to cast out that enemy. Let's leave the enemy, but we'll be in charge. And you know what? We'll make some money off them. Isn't that a good thing to do? We disobey God in a logical way to try to improve things, right? Make things better for ourselves. Is that how God works? Well, what did we learn from the first 12 chapters? Well, that's not how God works. God didn't work that way. And so you see, just sort of what's happening. Each tribe now is going out and not doing the full job. And they're finding various reasons not to do the full job. Sometimes they can't do it because they don't want to do it, or whatever. We'll see it again here in a few minutes. Sad commentary, really. I hope you've learned a lesson just by looking at this today. Because the enemy's out there, isn't he? He's affecting us. Well, we need to go on and look at the next chapter then. And so after that was chapter 16. And so now we want to go chapter 17. And I said we'd try to get through 17 today. And section, the first section of the second half of the book. Now look, he gives the plan to look for Manasseh. He was the firstborn of Joseph. And you can see that mentioned in verse 1. And then verse 3. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Macher, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but daughters. There's nothing wrong with daughters, are there? But you see, he had no sons, he had daughters. In fact, that's all we have, a granddaughter. We don't have any grandsons, but we have granddaughters. We have three granddaughters. These are the names of the daughters, Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came near Eleazar, before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua, son of Nun, before the princes, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father. And so Manasseh gets their portion. But now look here, here's a really positive piece. We've been seeing some negative pieces too, but Caleb is a positive piece, a good example. Now we have another positive example, Zelophehad's daughters. The five of them, in the book of Numbers, they go to Moses and say, well, wait a minute now, we value the inheritance. We want an inheritance. She's like, just because I didn't, my dad didn't have sons, why should we be left out of the inheritance? They desired the inheritance of the Lord. And that's a good thing. Again, their zeal, their desire was relevant. And so you see, they go and they ask Moses. And Moses goes to the Lord. I don't remember this, but in Numbers, Moses goes to the Lord, and the Lord says concerning Zelophehad's daughters, Zelophehad's daughters speak right. Isn't that great? They speak right. Their heart is right. They're speaking right. And so, yes, Moses, you're going to give them an inheritance. And of course, Joshua went into brilliant. And so they go to Joshua and Eleazar and say, well, we want to make sure we're not left out. And sure enough, or not, they're given an inheritance. There is a limitation, though. You'll learn later on, if you do some studies, there's a limitation. You see, when we do it God's way, sometimes we get limited, don't we? We can't always do what we want to do. In this case, because inheritance came through the male, through the man, that they would have to, they were forced to marry in their tribe. So they could not go outside in one of the other tribes of Israel and married. So Zelophehad would have to be limited to the men within that tribe. It doesn't come out here, but later on it will. And so it's a great reminder that sometimes when we do what God would have us to do, we have a desire for His things that sometimes limits what we can do. So in this case, it limited his Ahab's daughters to whom they could marry. But that was okay because to them, who they could marry was not quite as important as the inheritance what God had given. And so again, great lessons on the Ahab's daughters, just an overview there. I think that'd be helpful to know them. And so he gave all the land for Manasseh there, and you see it. But now verse 12 of chapter 17. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. There it is again. You get the idea that this is getting repetitious, that they aren't driving out the people of the land. But then go on to look here now, and you see verse 13. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. Oh, there it is again, the money factor, right? The benefit of having slaves or whatever. Okay? Let's do it that way. Okay, why not get rid of all of them? They will become thorns in their sides, as you know. That's a future point. But now look again, a great lesson in chapter 17, verse 14. And the children of Joseph spoke unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? That sounds very good, doesn't it? You get the sense, maybe this is like Zelophehad's daughters or Caleb or whatever, or Achsah. Maybe it's one of those, but it's not. Because the reason he wants more comes out here in a moment. You see, the issue is what's the motivation? Brethren, what is our motivation today concerning the inheritance of Christ Jesus? What's our motivation? Is it to get rich in this world or do this or do that? No, I don't. The Lord's blessed us for many great things. But look what Joseph, what happened here when Joshua speaks to him. And Joshua answered in verse 15, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, that is the northern part where all the trees were forest, right, that they'd been given, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, and Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee, right? If you want more, there's more. There's land there. Right? The question is, you're going to work for it. But isn't that what they were supposed to do anyway? Right? They have to work for it. It's not just sort of just sit back and just give it to me, Lord. They got this work. And the Lord provided it for us. And he showed them from the first 12 chapters how he'll go about it if they would only follow him. But you see, now Joseph is thinking, oh, well, I don't want to do all that work. You see, verse 16, the children of Joseph, well, the hell is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they were the valley of Jezreel. Oh, now we get the real reason. It's not that there's not enough land, but they don't want to do the work. They don't want to fight. He said, the enemy's got chariots of iron and horsemen and all this other kind of stuff. And so, we want to deal with that. We want to just give us some more land that's easier to get. Wouldn't we all like that? You see, the inheritance sometimes can be a struggle. It does take work to enjoy it and to continue to enjoy it, same, fair to speaking for us today. And so, though we don't have to go out to, and fight physical chariots and horsemen and so on, we do have a great enemy spiritually down there who's against us. And so there they are. They don't want to go up. So now, one, they don't want to go to the hill country and cut down trees or whatever and make land available for the tribe. And secondly, they don't want to go and fight the enemy who's very, very strong. But hadn't they learned the lesson, and haven't we learned the lesson, as you think about it, from verse 12 to 19? When the enemy is strong and we think we can't do it, who do we go to? God can help, can't he? He can overcome. But you see, they didn't take that to heart. They didn't take part of the chapter 12. Well, they didn't read it maybe, but you see, they experienced the first 12 chapters. They should have known what God would do. They refused to be obedient to it. And so Joshua speaks to them in verse 17. Joshua spoke to the house of Israel, or to the house of Joseph, Even Ephraim and Manasseh are a great people and has great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only. You can have the other rest of it. You have to work at it. But the mountain shall be thine for its wood, and thou shalt cut it down. Then another lot thou have, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, another lot there, though they have iron chariots and though they be strong. They had more than one lot, but they only wanted they wanted. The other two didn't go so well, so because they had enemies there, or the woods were there, or whatever. And so we see then chapter 17, this will be the end of Joseph. Now you might say, well, here we are, we've gone from chapter 13 to chapter 17. We had 9.5 tribes to get their inheritance, and now we have 5 total have gotten their inheritance. We're going to get back next time. We'll come together again. And we're going to learn some more great lessons. But you see, you get over into chapter 18. And it's going to be a while, perhaps months or even a year or two. And the other 7 tribes still haven't gotten there, haven't gone after, for whatever reason. We aren't told the details. But they're very slack about it, it says in that chapter 18. So as we look at this then, this section, the first section, the second half of the book, or the fourth section of the book, we would say then, here's Joshua, very old. We're going to just summarize that we the 2.5 tribes already have their inheritance. We saw that in chapter 13 for the most part. But they left the Geshurites and Maacathites in there, and so that causes a problem we mentioned. And you can read more about that, like I said, in the books of Samuel and Chronicles and perhaps Kings and whatever. And then, and now we have 9.5 tribes to receive their inheritance. All this is a reflection of the fact that we have a spiritual inheritance. As individuals, believers today, we can enjoy the inheritance to some degree. Depends on what we do, of course, in relation to it. And so we looked at that, and then we saw Judah get its inheritance, as we saw there in chapter 15, right? So Judah gets, Caleb gets his. We talked about Othniel and Caleb and Aksa. He got Othniel and his wife as well. But then we saw that little point that he couldn't dispossess the Jebusites. Again, the reminder, they weren't being doing the full job they should do. Then we got over to Joseph. We looked at him in chapter 16, and we saw the issues there. We mentioned, of course, after Manasseh got a portion, saw about Lot and Lot's daughters, which was marvelous. That was over books, Numbers 27, by the way. Look at that as well. And then we saw Joseph wanting more land. It didn't go so well. And because there was no real zeal for it there, they didn't want to work the same. And again, great lessons for all. He finally set the, of course, in verse 1 of chapter 18, he set the tabernacle finally. He was at Gilgal to Shiloh. And so, practically then, I would say we have a few lessons to look at. Again, just an overview, give a lot of detail, see much more, the boundaries and how they work and so on, the maps. But here we're looking at just an overview. And so, the question as we would ask them, how about us? How important is the inheritance to us today? How important, the question that we need to think about a little bit. And do we comprehend, I don't know if Joseph really comprehend, do we comprehend the vast riches available to us in the inheritance? I think Caleb did. Caleb after, he saw the value of it. We see the value of God has given us in Christ. And do we see that when we need help with the enemy is there. He didn't want you to enjoy it. So the enemy is going to try to get in a situation where you won't enjoy the inheritance. And what are we going to do? Are we going to just let the enemy take control? Or are we going to try and make the enemy give tribute to us or something? No, no. I think we go to God, don't pray for our help. Just as we learned in the first 12 chapters. And so what we do here then practically does seem to influence, as Peter mentions, the abundance later. And so you see what we do now. In relation to the inheritance, we'll play a role as the, you know, we're in because we know Christ, right? He's won the victory. Our inheritance is, that belongs to Israel physically, but spiritually, we have it. Christ has won it. How much of it we'll have or how we'll enjoy it, well, that's no whole issue. That's a good question. And then finally, do we let the enemy remain? Is that what we do? Let the enemy remain to do what he wants? Or are we serious about asking God to help us to drive out the enemy? That we might enjoy in some small way inheritance we have today in him. Well, those are some thoughts there from the book of Joshua to encourage you as you go off into the world and go off today to go about your business or whatever it might be this afternoon and the week ahead. May these things be brought to your mind to think about, you know what, there's something about inheritance. I need to be thinking about that. What am I doing about it? Do I want to be able to do it? Well, let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Father, we thank you for our time to be together. Lord, bless us, thy word to us. There's so much here, Father, we could think on, and we spent hours looking at what happened here in the future with these enemy that was left in the land and so on. But Lord, help us. Give us strength. May we be those who desire, like Zophar's daughters, like Caleb, desire, have a zeal for the inheritance, to enjoy it as you'd have us to enjoy it, to be about fighting the enemy where we need to fight him, and looking to you for our help as we do so. Easier, of course, said than done, Father, but we know, based on what we've learned in the first 12 chapters, with you, anything is possible as we deal with the enemy. Give us strength. Help us. May we bring glory to your name, in the name of thy dear Son. Thanking you for the inheritance we have in him. May we learn to enjoy it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.